KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of MAMI, an art exhibit at Yale Union in Portland. MAMI is a group show that considers the mystery and chaos of motherhood, and in reaction to the sentimentality and laments the culturally constructed binary of, quote, family versus career, while acknowledging the persistence of that obstacle in the lives of artists. Again, that's MAMI, showing Thursday through Sunday, 3 to 6 p.m. until December 20th at Yale Union, located at 800 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, December 14th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Weather forecast today is more hell and high water coming at us all. No matter where we live, that's pretty much the recipe around the world right now. I wonder how many people see the connection between a rise in terrorism, both domestic, both police terrorism against the civilian community, mainly against people of color. And, of course, COP21. It's almost not a nothing like a coincidence that we refer to it as COP21 when we look around us and we see the violence done to our communities everywhere. And right now, the parallels between climate talks and climate collapse that has brought world leaders together and the world of terror that we have similarly created for ourselves on the only planet that we know. A lot of headlines being generated out of that maelstrom, those two parallel lines. And today we are incredibly fortunate to have Philip Weiss, the founder and co-editor of MondoWeiss.net, which focuses on the war of ideas in the Middle East. He just wrote a piece, Trump's Religion Test for Immigrants is Standard Practice in Israel. And Israel has not come up in all of these discussions of terror. And, of course, the president today is going to be addressing the issue to try to calm nervous Americans, most of whom, the ones we really need to hear the president's words, won't be listening. And, indeed, even before he begins to speak, well, begin beating the drums of war, not only against Muslims, but everywhere, not just in America, but against the president himself. And yet we don't hear Israel. We don't hear about Israel's role in all of this. I want to welcome right now Philip Weiss. It's so good to have you on the show today. We are just delighted to have you. This is what you wrote is interesting. It's certainly absolute must read material.
Oh, thank you.
Anyone out there, listeners, trying to follow all of this, Israel must be taken into account.
I think there's no question. I mean, I feel like, you know, some of this awareness is dawning on people. Just yesterday, Obama's ISIS czar, the guy he appointed to take on ISIS, said in New York that you're never going to resolve radical extremism in the Middle East until you resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And everyone understands this in Washington, that that there are political causes for a lot of this terrorism. And approaching it as a military problem is absurd.
Well, again, talk a little bit about, I've got a lot of questions to ask, but let's starting out with how you see Israel's role right at the moment, and why is it that the West has studiously ignored? Well, we know, of course, that the U.S. is a client state of Israel's, but and of course a major market for U.S. arms manufacturers. But right now, why the extreme caution in mentioning Israel in all the discussions of terrorism that have come up? I think and think of a number of reasons. What do you see as a preeminent reason for the caution around this at this particular moment?
It's a great question. It's a great question. And I think that essentially your question is, why is this the elephant in the room? And because it is an elephant in the room. And I think that's because of a couple of reasons that the two-state process has failed, and there is enormous fear in Washington over the failure of the two-state peace process. This is a 25-year process that has delivered nothing but further enslavement to millions of Palestinians. That is what the peace process has delivered. Despite my belief in it, a lot of people's belief in it, that is what it has actually delivered. And so Everyone, or smart people in Washington understand that Palestinians are living in complete persecution, and there is no way out. The belief that the two-state solution was going to offer a way out has disappeared. And so this fear exists that this situation is about to turn into Algeria, and turn into Algeria at a time when, obviously, the Middle East is, or a lot of parts of the Middle East are in flames. So it's very loaded, and the United States is committed, or has been committed, to the existence of a Jewish state in Israel. I think that that is really what is at risk right now. And there are many interests in the United States, chiefly the organized Jewish community, and also, yes, parts of the Republican Christian Zionist community, that are committed to the existence of a Jewish state in Israel. I think that that existence is now really at risk. And so the denial of the importance of maintaining that state is what has kept our politicians absolutely quiet on this question, because they know it's at risk. And in fact, a movement is gaining international strength to delegitimize Israel as a Jewish state, to say it should be a democracy of all its citizens and all the people whom it governs. And that is that's the BDS movement, and it's gaining strength. And these are the two forces that are now aligned on the intellectual battlefield. On one hand, this insistence that we support a Jewish state, and on the other, a movement for equal rights. And they are completely irreconcilable, these two forces, and people are very concerned about how this matter is going to resolve itself. In the meantime, the Palestinians are enslaved.
The phrase "no way out" has meaning in a macro and a micro sense, in that the Palestinians are not, if they leave, if they're able to get out of Palestine to visit family, friends, and other parts of the world, getting back in is almost impossible. We know that because our evening news director is married to a Palestinian chap, and going in and out to visit family is a major, it's like the landing at Dunkirk. That takes a lot of work to do that. It's not just a lighthearted family vacation by any stretch of the imagination. So no way out is definitely true. It's like shooting fish in a barrel, essentially. The Israelis have caged up a whole people, and now are slowly exterminating them. And into all of this wades the likes of Donald Trump, And whether we like it or not, people listen to him, some people, and a lot of people come out of the woodwork. We always feared that they might be lurking there, but now we do see indeed the face of the ugly American, and certainly hear the voice, the ugly American. Trump says it all. How much damage potentially do you think he's done here by with his remarks?
Well, of course, he's caused a wave. He's fostered a wave of Islamophobia in this country that is scary, and certainly is reminiscent of other convulsions of ethnic and religious bigotry that our country has experienced. We can hope that, and I do have the faith that he's not going to become president, and that these won't become policies. They won't become policies, I'm almost certain, but I would say. But nonetheless, he's affecting the political discourse and shifting it right on this question and licensing a very anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim sentiments in the country. And that being said, I would, from my narrow perspective, I would emphasize that the very policies that he's favoring are ones that Israel largely has adopted. It does not allow Palestinian Muslim refugees to immigrate into Israel. It doesn't allow, it encourages Jewish immigrants from around the world. It will pay money for Jews to move to Israel, but it won't allow Muslims. So this policy that we find and that the mainstream happily is, I'm encouraged, the mainstream is finding abhorrent on the part of Donald Trump, are policies that are everyday practices for the Israeli government. A government whose army is almost entirely Jewish, reminiscent of our army before desegregation, a government that gives land to Jews, not to Muslims, a discriminatory land policy reminiscent of the Jim Crow South, a country that does not have governing coalitions that include Arab parties, reminiscent of the Mississippi Freedom Democrats being barred from the nominating convention in 1964. So this sort of Jim Crow policies exist all throughout that government and political structure, and our politicians embrace Israel and denounce Trump. I think it's great they're denouncing Trump. I think that some of the same scorn should apply to our closest friend in the Middle East.
Yeah, indeed. We've got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk a bit about Israel and the conflict in Syria. Israel, they're a central player in the Middle East, in the region, and potentially could have some clout in any future negotiations with Bashar Assad as himself or with whoever fills his place should he be taken out, which it doesn't seem that that's likely in the foreseeable future, but should be considered because some of the names mentioned to take his place as an interim leader are truly frightening.
Yes,
and
I agree.
They are obviously just puppets put in by the U.S. government to hold a place in Syria until they can concoct a way of rigging some sort of election, though how an election could possibly be orchestrated with ISIS in the country, and how they could possibly wipe out every single man, woman, and child with ISIS affiliations. That's also a little hard to imagine, and gory too as well. So yeah. Looking at Israel's role in the Middle East right now and Syria, how has Israel used its considerable clout? Or is it simply sitting back and watching the rest of the region self-destruct?
My sense is that they're doing the latter, and that the outcome right now is one that is, from a realpolitik standpoint, is helpful to them. They don't really want Assad out of power. They want a a regional kind of power struggle with Iran, on which in which they're on top and in which the West is on their side against Iran. So some of that is still the is the case in that struggle. I don't think that an utterly destabilized, well, Syria is destabilized. If it completely falls apart, I think that's bad news, not just for Israel but for a lot of countries in the region. I don't. That's where I would fault American policy, on its own head, not just based on our relationship to the client state. I mean, why? What we're going to achieve by just bombing these people to smithereens with so many civilian casualties? It will just fuel extremism.
Sure, and you can't. There's no borders. They're not a state. They are an idea, not a state. Anyway,
right.
That said,
and the West helped create that idea.
We did, indeed. Yes. Thank you so much, Philip. My guest, of course, is Pete Philip Weiss. He is the founder and co-editor of MondoWeiss.net, and I do commend listeners' attention to the article on Trump and the Middle East. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, December 14th, 2015. Kate Welsh engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Ornette, Made in America, showing Thursday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Released in 1985, Ornette, Made in America, explores the rhythms, images, and myths of America seen through the eyes of an Ornette Coleman's imagination and artistic evolution over three decades. Again, that's Ornette, Made in America, Thursday, December 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland.